Okay, so we're learning Perikin Aleph of Shoftim. fascinating end of the Perik, which is what we're up to now. So last time we read the beginning of the Perik, which talks about Yiftach being selected as this general, even though he was originally rejected by his brothers, but he was then eventually selected as the general, and he has this conversation through messengers with the king of Moab, Ammon. Moab comes into the conversation as well. He tries to convince him to make peace. Ammon is not interested. and now Yiftach is going to take matters into his own hands. So we're up to Pasuk Chavtes. I believe that's where we left off. So the Navi tells us in Pasuk Chavtes, Vatihi al Yiftach Ruach Hashem. So the Ruach Hashem passes over Yiftach, and Vayavor es Hagilad ve'es Menashe, he crosses over the land of Gilad, he crosses over the land of Menashe. Vayavor es Mitzpeh Gilad, he crosses over the land of Mitzpeh Gilad, Mitzpeh Gilad avar b'nei Ammon, and finally he crosses over into the land of Ammon. And many understand that Vayavor, this Ruach Hashem that's coming over Yiftach is a ruach of gvura, right? There's a certain spirit of gvura that envelops him and enables him to come and to charge and to conquer Ammon. And then Yiftach says something, and it's interesting the order here, because seemingly this happens before he fights with Ammon. So the previous pasuk doesn't say he fought with Ammon yet; it just says avar b'nei Ammon, that he kind of crossed into Ammon. And now comes Yiftach, and he says something very interesting. Now, this whole end of the parak here, which is about 10 or 15 psukim. So, just about 10 psukim or so. So we're going to read through it and learn it with the pashup shot, the way that most of the mafarshim understand it. And then we'll come and look and see how the Gemara and the Midrashim understand this story, because the Gemara and the Midrashim understand the story very differently than the Pashup Shat, as explained by the Mefarshim. So let's take a look. Pasuk says, "Vayidar Yiftach neder l'Hashem vayomar." So Yiftach takes a neder, and he says, "Im nason titein es b'nei Ammon biyadi." If you allow me to be victorious over the Bnei Ammon, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vehaya Hayotze Asher Yetze Midalse Veisili Krasi B'Shuvi V'Shalom Mibnei Ammon, the first one to come out of my house as I return in peace from Bnei Ammon, Vehaya LaHashem V'Hadisiu Ola, will be for Hashem, and I will bring it as an Ola, Now. So this story is famous because of what happens at the end, which, right, I'm assuming most of us here know the end of the story, so I'm not spoiling it, but the one who comes out at the end, when Yiftach returns, is his daughter. Now, he just vowed that the first thing to come out is going to be brought as a sacrifice. Okay? His daughter comes out, what is he going to do? He's stuck. Now, this concept of making a neder, we find in other places, and we'll talk about some of them, in a few minutes, when we get to the Gemara and the Midrash, we'll talk about some of the other times. But we find this concept of people making a neder that, if Hashem allows me to be successful, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z, right? So the concept in and of itself of the neder is not a foreign concept, right? And he's saying that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you allow me to be successful, I'm going to give an ola. Now, most of the Mefarshim, just to take some of the wind out of our sails here, and I titled, when I sent the email today, I described it as the vow that Yiftach took and that killed his daughter, right? So according to most of the Mefarshim, he did not kill his daughter. Okay, according to most of the Mefarshim, he did not kill his daughter. Why? Because the pasuk says here, and most of the Mefarshim read the psukim this way. It says, if you look, the pasuk says, what was his neder? The first one to come out when I return in peace from Bnei Ammon, v'hayol Hashem, v'ha'alisi hu ola. will be for Hashem, and I will bring it as an Ola. Now, I translated that V'halisiu Ola as and. But many of the Mefarshim point out that it's likely that according to the Pashup Shad, and we'll see more, you know, some more support for this in the Psukim later, the Vav here may very well be translated as or. V'hayal Hashem, it will be for Hashem, or V'halisiu Ola, meaning, depending on what comes out to greet me, that's how I'm going to treat it. So if it's something that's not fit to be a karban, it's not fit to be an ola, such as a human being, like his daughter, such as a behemoth tamea, right, an animal that's not kosher, so all these things can't be karbanos, so then v'hayal Hashem, it'll be hekdesh. And we'll see exactly what that means and how to treat that, but it will be hekdesh, it will be for Hashem. Okay, in the case of his daughter, what does it mean to...
Because you can't make a neder to kill a person.
Oh.
The neder is automatically...
Okay, good. So we'll talk about this, right? So V'hayal Hashem, presumably for his daughter, means that she'll be solely dedicated for Hashem, right? Can anybody think where else we have this in Navi? We didn't learn it yet. Shmuel, right? When Chana davens, and that's one of the examples mentioned in the Medrash, when Chana davens, what does she say? She's davening for a child, and she says, I'm going to give the child to Hashem. And that's what Shmuel was. Shmuel was born, and he became a Navi to Hashem, one of the greatest of him. Right? He became a Navi to Hashem. So presumably he's saying that if a human being comes out to greet me, that human being will be solely dedicated to the service of Hashem. And if it's an animal, that's a kosher animal, and that's fit to bring a karban, so then Hali Siwala. That's how most of the Mefarshim understand. Okay, now we'll see later that the Gemara and the Midrashim don't understand it that way, but that's how most of the Mefarshim understand. Okay. So let's see the Psukim here. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayavor Yiftach El Bnei Amon Lihilach and Bam. So Yiftach crosses over into the, after he's made this nether, he crosses over into the land of Amon to fight with them. Vayitnem Hashem Biyado, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them into the hands of Yiftach. Now this was a resounding defeat here. Vayakem in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayakem Me'arower Ve'ad Boacha Minis Esrim Ir. From this place called Aroer, all the way until the entrance to Minis, there were 20 cities. All of these cities were under the Ammonite control. Yiftach defeated and conquered all 20 cities. So this wasn't just one battle. Like this was Yiftach literally almost like plowing through the territory and conquering the people of Ammon. Okay, the Adavel Kiramim Ma'ako Gidola Me'od. Pasuk says this was a big defeat, a resounding defeat of Ammon. By Yikanu b'nei Ammon mipnei b'nei Yisrael, and the b'nei Ammon literally were brought to their knees. They were subdued. They were subdued in the face of b'nei Yisrael. And this was something that for many years wasn't the case. Ammon was in charge. Right? They persecuted the Jews. They oppressed the Jews. And now, B'nai Yisrael, with Yiftach at the helm, they come and they plow right through them, and they conquer everything from the hands of Ammon. Okay.
Did Yiftach make this vow because he was, let's say, afraid of the impending battle, and he was sort of asking Hashem, if you give me success and defeat them, I'll bring this as an Ola or whatever.
Okay,
Or he viewed it as, whatever happens, he was going to give a gift to Hashem anyway. Because he has a resounding victory here, so
right.
There wasn't even any, you know, in previous battles, the B'nai Israel lost people.
Right.
Sounds like he mowed them all down.
Right, right.
So what was the purpose of, was his vow just to egg Hashem on, so to say,
right,
that he should give him success, or... As a toga.
Right. It's a good question. So we're going to see in the next perek. I saw one of the mefarshim, in the name of one of the mefarshim. In the next perek, we're going to see a little bit of a civil war almost between the people of Ephraim and Yiftach and his people. And part of what angered Ephraim about what happens here is that Ephraim thought that he didn't do this the right way. Right, that the very fact that he even had to make this vow to bring something as an Ola almost was like he didn't bring enough manpower into the battle. Like the first option that you're saying. So it seems that maybe he was doing this as like a security. He was not really sure of his ability. Maybe he didn't bring a big enough or powerful enough army. And therefore he made this neder as a little extra security, a little extra boost from the Ribono Shel Olam, that, you know, help me get through this, and I'm going to give a special Ola. That's what it sounds like. Because it sounds like also it's only Beshuvi Beshov, meaning if he would have been defeated, it sounds like he would not have brought anything. Okay. So now, that's all we hear about the battle, by the way, right? He's defeated Amon and is brought to their knees, and that's it. Now we have, of course, the drama of Yiftach returning home. Okay, and this is where the drama begins. That's a good question. How many years? I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe. I don't remember. Yeah, the beginning of the parak in Dalet and Hey, the pasuk says Vayihi miyamim. Sounds like it was a while. I don't remember offhand. And Dalet. It's Yomim Rabim. I don't know exactly. Farshim say Yomim Rabim. I don't know exactly how many. Not sure exactly how long it was. Seems like it was a long time though. Okay. So now Yiftach returns home. Vayavo Yiftach HaMitzvah El Beisav. So Yiftach comes to the Mitzvah. He comes back home to where he lives. He lives in Mitzvah. V'hinei Vito Yotzeis Likraso Besupim Uvimcholos. His daughter comes out to greet him, Besupim Uvimcholos, with instruments, playing music. Right? Think about it, right? Amon was just persecuting Klal Yisrael for so many years. Yiftach goes out, he wipes the floor with them. Okay? Everybody presumably got the message that he was victorious. He's on his way back home, and he's got a victory parade. His daughter comes out leading the victory parade. Verak hi yechida. Pasuk says, Verak hi yechida, she was alone. What does it mean she was alone? Ein lo mimenu bein ovas. Ein lo mimenu bein ovas. Right, it's actually a funny read in the words, exactly how to read this, because the mimenu throws you off. Had it said mimena, so then that would mean, right, v'rak hi yechida, she was alone, ein lo mimena bein ovas, and she wasn't married and he didn't have any grandchildren from her. That's what it would mean if it said mimena, right, which is from her in the feminine. But it says mimenu in the masculine. So the Mefarshim all struggle with this. What exactly does this mean? Right? V'rak hi yechida.
Says he was her only, she was her, his only child.
The ein lo mimenu bein ovas. Meaning there's, he had no other children except for this one. Right? Now some of the Mefarshim say that it sounds like, you know, why is the Pasuk telling us this? You know, that she was the only one. So some of the Mefarshim say that really there were other children there, that maybe he was raising Yisomim. You know, the Al-Sheikh suggests this, maybe he was raising Yisomim, maybe he was a Rebbe and he had taught other children, and, you know, a person teaches Torah to children, it's like it's their own children. But this was his only biological child. That's what the Al-Sheikh suggests. The Radak, interestingly, says that really his wife, for his wife, this was the second marriage. This was the second marriage for his wife, and really he had stepchildren from this wife. Right? You know, the wife came into the marriage with children from previous marriage. He had stepchildren, and he cared for them and raised them like a father. But he wasn't the biological father. This was only his only biological daughter. So that's the again. You know, either it means it was only his only biological daughter, but many of the Mefarshim also understand that she was not married and she did not have any children. She was a single girl. She didn't have any children. Okay, and also, the Malbim, interestingly, says, "What v'rak hi yechida." He says that sometimes yachid can mean special. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that this was the only one. Where do we see that? Where do we see that there are multiple children, but still you're called yachid? Yitzchak, right? Kachnas bincha es yechidcha asher hafta es yitzchak. What do you mean yechidcha? What about Yishmael? Right? Yishmael was also Avram's son. So the Malbim says, you see that the word yachid doesn't necessarily have to mean only an only child, but it could mean something unique, a special child, like Yitzchak was. So that's why it says, V'rak hi yechida, that no, she was an only child. She wasn't just a special child, she was his only child. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Hei. Vayihi chiroso osa Vayikra es begadav. And here the contrast between Pasuk Lamed Dalet and Pasuk Lamed Hey is so stark. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, she's coming out besupim uvimcholos with this big smile. And he sees her and his heart drops. His heart drops. Right? Vayikra es begadav. And he tears kriya. He tears his clothing. Vayomer aha. And the Mefarshim say it's like he's screaming out. Ahoy. Biti. Hachreya hichratini. Right? That you made me kneel down and bend down, like from the Korim u'mishachavim. Double language. You made me bow down and kneel down. Meaning you're bringing me to my knees here. Ve'at hayiz be'ochrai. And you're the one who's causing all of this confusion and all of this sadness. Ve'anochi patzisi fi al Hashem v'lo u'chal lo shuv. I opened my mouth to Hashem and I can't do anything about it now.
But why wasn't he able to, to
take a weapon in. Oh, very good, very good, very good. Okay, good. So first of all, he's the Hachreya Hichratini, he's saying, number one, you're my child. The Al-Sheikh says, well, what's the double language? Number one, you're my child, right? And now I'm going to have to do something to you, whatever it is, even if he's not killing her. But he's got to do something, right? He consecrated her to Hashem. That was the vow. So he's got to do something with her. So, and it's not going to be pleasant. So number one, Hachreya Hichratini, right? Number one, you're my child. Number two, you're my only child. So you're really bringing me to my knees. Because it's not just that I have to do this to a child. I have to do this to my only child. That's number one. Now, why not a hatar? Why not do hataras nedarim? So the Malbim says that the reason why he thought he couldn't do hataras nedarim here is because this was a neder that was made to... actually, hold on 1 second. No, sorry. Sorry. The Malbim understands that really he could do Hataras Nedarim here. The Malbim understands that V'lo Uchal Ashuv at the end of the Pasuk is rhetorical. V'lo Uchal Ashuv? Can I not do Hataras Nedarim? Meaning this is a terrible thing, but I can get out of it. I could do Ataras Nadar, right? If you make a nether to the Ribbono Shalom, you could do Ataras Nadar. So that's how the Malbim understands. Really, he could have done Ataras Nadar. We'll see in a second why he doesn't. But according to the Malbim, really, he could. But according to the Al-Sheikh, he says, no. He can't do Ataras Nadar. Why? Because the only way he could do Ataras Nadarim is by going to a Chacham. Who was the Chacham at that time? Pinchas. Okay? And we'll see in the Midrashim, he's saying, Hachreya Hichratini. I don't want to lower myself. I don't want to kneel down before Pinchas. Right? Keep in mind, Yiftach was on a high. He was a great, strong warrior. He just plowed, mowed down Ammon, just conquered all of these people, restored the glory of Klal Yisrael. He's coming back on his high horse, that he was this mighty warrior, this general who just won, and now the first thing that he has to do is to go ask the Rav Shailah. The first thing he has to do is to go get do Ataras Nadarim from the Galo Hador, from Pinchas.
So who heard him make this neder?
Sorry?
Who heard him make this neder?
I don't know.
Wouldn't somebody, if you made that neder, would you say, you crazy? You think anything?
No. But again,
He did.
Yeah, He made it.
But it says a lot. I mean, the man, notwithstanding he's a great warrior, he tore his clothes.
Yeah. He was upset about it.
But he could have gotten out of it.
Right, but he's resisting. He's resisting, Yeah. Okay. Now, interesting. Comes his daughter in Pasuk Lamed Vav, that Tomer Elov Avi. So she says to my father, Potsiso es picha el Hashem. She says, you opened your mouth to Hashem. You spoke to Hashem. You said something. You have to do it. Right? You have to do what you said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Acharei she'asa lecha Hashem nekamos me'oivecha mi'bnei amo. So she comes to him with a frumkite, and she says, listen, according to the Malbim, this is good. According to the Malbim learns that really he was saying, I can do Ataras Nadarim. Meaning, I'm not happy about the situation. I can do Ataras Nadarim. So she's saying, no, don't do it. Right? Don't do it. Because, number one, you opened your mouth, you said it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave you the victory. So if he gave you the victory, what right do you have now to go back on your word? right? He did his part, so you got to do your part, right? You got to do your part, and you have to go through with it. According to the Al-Sheikh, she was really saying she didn't want to be the cause of the Ataras Nadar. You know, really, Al-Pidin, you could do Ataras Nadar. But she was saying, I don't want this to be because of me. Right? You know, he said it, so go through with it. Technically, can you get out of it? Can you wiggle out of it? You could do Ataras Nadar? Yeah, you could do it. But I don't want that to be on my shoulders. I don't want that to be on my account. Now, the Malbim has like a almost like a mistaken halachic argument here. And he says that she was really arguing that you can't do Hataras Nadar. And he says because the only way, what she was arguing, was that the only way you can do Hataras Nadarim is with Charata Deme'ikara. When you regret something retroactively, that you say, I wish I would have never made this. It was a mistake to begin with. That's not what he's saying. Right? Really what's happening here, he was fine with the Nadar. He just didn't like the result.
Yeah, but
if a cow walked out, let's say the first thing that came out was a cow, he would be fine with it, right? He just wasn't happy because the first thing that walked out was his daughter. So she says, that's not called charata de meikara. That's not charata, that's not regret that goes back to the beginning of the nether. That's charata de hashta. Right now you have charata. Right now you regret it because look what happened, right? So his daughter is making the argument that that's not a valid grounds for ataras nedarim. And she accepted his argument. But says the Malbim, she was wrong. It's not true. That's a good enough charata. Meaning, even if right now you regret it, and had you known this result, you never would have taken the neder, that is a valid charata. That's a valid regret. And therefore, the Malbim says that she was giving him a mistaken halachic argument, and he accepted it without doing any further research, maybe because of his arrogance. He didn't want to go and ask a shayla. He didn't want to go to Pinchas. So he just said to his daughter, you know what you're saying makes sense. I guess I can't do Ataras Nadarim, and that's it. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Batomer Alaviha, so she says to her father, Ye Oseli Hadavar Azeh. She says, do me, you know, do one favor for me. Harpei Mimeni Shnayim Chodoshim. You know, let me loose for 2 months. Meaning, you know, let me go for 2 months. You could do whatever you're going to do, but let me go for 2 months. The Elcha. Let me go v'yaradati el haharim. Let me go down to the mountains. Ve'evke al besulai anochi v'reosai. And I'm going to cry on my besulim. Now what does this mean? So it seems that what the psukim seem to be indicating, and if you look at Pasuk Lamed Ches also, she did it, right? Vayomer lechi. So he said, sure, go ahead. Lechi, I'm sorry. Vayishlach usa shnei chadoshim. He allows her to go for 2 months. Vatelechi v'reoseha. She and her friends, the chevra, they go down to these mountains, vatevk al besuleha al haharim, and they cry, they mourn for her besulim in the mountains. Now, what are these besulim? What are we talking about here? So the way that the mafarshim understand the pashut pshat and the psukim is that when Yiftach made the neder that he was going to consecrate, right? The first thing that comes out is going to be la Hashem. So what does that mean in the context of a human being? His daughter comes out. Now, how is that fulfilled to consecrate her Lasha? So the answer is that she's going to be basically put in solitary confinement, and she's going to spend her entire life alone, just with his bodidus, her and the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what she's going to do. That's how she's going to serve Hashem. She's not going to get married. She's not going to have children. She's not going to have a family. She's going to go and be alone. Not going to die. He's not going to kill her. But she's going to go and be alone, you know, in a separate place, separate from humanity, and just her connecting with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what it means to consecrate her to Hashem. And now, presumably, you know, we know from other sources the concept of Hizbodidus, that theoretically a person can reach a very high level, a very high madriga of connection with Hashem through Hizbodidus, solitude and thinking and just connecting with Hashem. Right? We have stories in the Gemara, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went with his son, just the two of them, into the cave, and the Gemara relates incredible. They reached incredible madrigas when they came out from the cave. So the Rambam talks about these bodidus, you know, a person can reach very high levels of connection with Hashem. So it's certainly something positive, but not at the expense of this woman getting married, not at the expense of this woman having a family, not at the expense of this woman having children. That's the tragedy here, and that's what she's crying about. Al basulai. Because she's going to remain a basula for the rest of her life. She's never going to get married. She's never going to have children. So that's what she was mourning. She wanted 2 months to go with her friends, and literally just to mourn, a long time to mourn, right? But just to mourn, to, you know, almost like to work up the courage to be able to do this. She wanted to do it. She thought that this was the right thing to do, but she needed to get up. She needed to work up that courage, and she went with her friends. It's interesting, by the way, that she goes with her friends, right? Because you need, you know, when a person is going through a challenging time, you need a chevra, right? You need a support system. You need a social structure, that, you know, people to help you, rei oseha, to help her get through this and to help her mentally and emotionally prepare for, you know, for this lifetime sentence, so to speak.
Rabbi, yeah. Doesn't the fact that he was so sure that it was going, that an animal was going to come out, doesn't that lessen the what he did, what he swore?
How can you be so sure, though?
He just assumed. He had faith in Hashem.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I mean, we'll learn the Medrash in a little bit. The Medrash said this was a little bit of a patch for Yiftach, that he shouldn't have said this. You know, he should have been more careful with what he was saying.
Eliezer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
King Shaul.
Right. Exactly. Very good. Okay. So what happens now? She goes. She mourns for these 2 months. She goes down to the hills. Lamites. It was after the 2 months. Vatoshav Elaviha, she returns to her father. Vayasla es nidro asher nadar. He fulfills the neder that he made. And by the way, many of the Mefarshim prove from these words, Vayasla es nidro asher nadar. It doesn't say that he killed her. It doesn't say that he brought her as an ola. It says that he fulfilled his neder. Right? So how did he fulfill his neder? By doing the following. By making her Vihilo yoda ish, she never knew a man, meaning she never got married. She was never with a man. But he chok be Israel, and there was a chok be Israel, like a rule, a law in Klal Yisrael. And we'll see exactly what that means in a minute. So what's happening here? So the Radak says that presumably he built her a place. Vayas la es nidra asher nadar means he built her a house where she could live by herself and separate from everyone else. And she remained, the Malbim calls her an aguna. She remained an aguna. Right? Just like a woman is, you know, his husband goes missing, she can't remarry, she's an aguna, she's a chained woman. This woman also was an aguna. She could never marry because that would violate the neder. The whole basis of this neder was to separate her, that she would be by herself just la Hashem. And he thought he was doing a mitzvah. Right, he took this nether, he's fulfilling the nether, he thought he's doing a mitzvah.
Rabbi, doesn't Pinchas have any responsibility that
yeah.
he could have saved her?
Yes. We'll talk about that. Yeah, we're gonna come to that. Now what's the chok? What's this chok? So most of the Mefarshim understand that the chok is going on the next pasuk. There's one pshat in Rashi. That he says the chok is going on this, that this was such a terrible thing, that the chok was, that you know, it's almost like Beis Din got together and said, no one should ever do this again. No one should ever make a nether like this again, because look what happened. Right? So that's what's one pshat in Rashi, that was the chok. Most of the Mefarshim understand, though, that the chok is going on the next pasuk. The final pasuk says, Miyamim Yamima, Teilach Nabanos Yisrael Lesanos Levas Yiftach, that for many, many years, the Jewish girls would go lesanos. Lesanos, the Mefarshim say, either means to lament, to mourn. They would go to mourn, or it means to comfort her, to speak with her and to comfort her. Those are the two pshatim that the Mefarshim give for lesanos. They would go lesanos levas yiftach hagiladi, arbas yomim bashana. They would go 4 times a year.
Not to fast?
Sorry?
Tanis, does that mean?
No, that's with an ayin. Right? That's with an ayin. Tanis is with an ayin. So here, they would go 4 times a year to either to mourn, right, or to comfort her. They would go, you know, to spend time with her 4 times a year. Because listen, you know, even if a person's in hisbodidus, but then you need some kind of stimulation. You know, you need a little bit of connection with people. So they would go 4 times a year. That was the chok. So that's a difference of opinion. What exactly the chok was? Okay, now this is all according to the pashup shot You know, most of the mafarshim understand. So again, the neder was not necessarily to kill her. The neder was to consecrate, whatever came out first. The neder was to consecrate that to the Ribono Shel Olam. If it was an animal that was fit for a korban, it would be a korban. Excuse me. If not, then it would be some other type of consecration to the Ribono Shel Olam. Right?
But Rabbi, that would have avoided the whole vow. If a donkey or a horse would have come out first, that would have avoided the vow.
Yeah, okay, hold on. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
Coming out.
Okay. So there are not many. There are three or four midrashim here. One is a Gemara, and then there are two or three other midrashim that discuss this. And it's interesting, the way the Gemara describes it is that there were three people. Shlosha, there's a Gemara in Tainus. Shlosha Sha'alu Shalo Kehogen. That there were three people that made, you know, demands or deals with the Ribono Shel Olam that were not appropriate. They were not proper demands or not proper deals. The Shnayim Heshivu Kehogen, two of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied appropriately. L'Echad Heshivu Shalo Kehogen. And one of them, he replied in a way that was not appropriate for the person. Okay, now which one was the inappropriate one, you can guess? Yiftach. Right, this is the one with the bad ending. The other ones were good. What were the good ones? So the one that we just read, this past week's parasha, Eliezer Eved Avram. Right, Eliezer comes out, okay, and he says, V'hoyan na'ara asher omar eileh hatina kadeich ve'eshtev gam gamalecha ashke. Right, so Eliezer's making a deal. He's making a deal with the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Gemara says, that's not really kehogen. Why? Because who knows who this is going to be. Maybe it'll be some sort of a woman that would be totally unfit to marry Yitzchak, but she's fulfilling the condition. She's giving him a drink and she's giving his camels a drink. That's it. That's the right one, right? So how can he be so reckless, you know, to make such a deal? But the Gemara says that Nizdam Nalo Rivka. But Maisa, he got a good one. He got Rivka. Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him in the right way, right? The second one the Gemara says is Shaul ben Kish. What did Shaul say? Goliath, right? Goliath, he was causing a lot of problems for Klal Yisrael. Shaul was the king. Shaul said, whoever kills this guy, right, can marry my daughter. Now, who knows which soldier is going to kill? Not every soldier is a big tzaddik, right? Who knows which soldier is going to be successful? So that deal was a little bit reckless. Who ended up doing it and marrying his daughter? David HaMelech, right? So he ended up, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu responded in a positive way. The one that wasn't was Yiftach, because Yiftach said, right? And now, anything could have come out, right? Behemoth Tameah could have come out, a pig could have walked out, right? Anything could have walked out and greeted him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. So the Gemara doesn't say it exactly like this, but one of the Midrashim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, right? What kind of nether are you making? What kind of neder are you making? The first thing that comes out, you're going to bring a korban. What business is that? Let's say a pig walks out. You're going to bring that as a korban to me? That's what you're going to do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset, right? And it's more than just, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a smack in the face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a pig. But it's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not taking your words seriously, right? You have to think, you know, words, we take words very seriously. Kol Nidre. You know, we're very focused on our words. The Taras Nedarim before Rosh Hashanah, Kol Nidre, Leil Yom HaKippurim. We're very careful with our words and what we say and how we say it. We're very, very careful. That's the total way. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not being careful. You're not being careful with the neder that you're making. And therefore, he says, I'm going to punish you for that. But I'm going to show you. You got to take your Nedarim seriously. And that's why he brings out his daughter as a slap in the face to Yiftach, that you see you were reckless with your words, and this is what you're going to get. This is what's going to happen. Okay, there's another medrash that brings another one that says Kalev, right? That Kalev said also, if you remember from Sefer Shoftim in the very beginning, and also it's also mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua, Kalev said, whoever defeats Kiryat Sefer will get my daughter Achsa, right? And who was it? It was Asniel ben Kenaz, who turned out to be a big tzaddik, so he was the one. Right, so that's another example that the Medrash brings. Okay.
The hotel of David is doing that.
Or making a deal, so to speak.
Absolutely. If you do it, I'll praise you in front of everybody, and
right.
I'll bring olos.
Right. So yeah, I guess
he does that every second parak.
Right.
Yaakov said the same thing. If you make me rich, I'll give.
Yes. Exactly. Right. Okay. So the Medrash in two places says that Yiftach really made a big mistake here. Yiftach really made a big mistake. Why? Two mistakes. Mistake number one, Yiftach could have gotten out of this nether. Right? He could have gotten out of it. Okay? How could he have gotten out of the nether? So there's a machlokes. This is brought in the Medrash in Parshas Chayisara, actually. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. They both agree. Now again, the Chazal seem to understand that his daughter did die. Not like the Pashuk Shad and the Pesukim based on the Mefarshim, that she was just put into solitary confinement and his bodhid was for the rest of her life. Right? That's how the Pesukim sound. That's how the Mefarshim understand the Pashuk Shad. But the Midrashim, the Chazal and the Midrashim understand that really she did die. And it was a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both say that really she wasn't obligated to be brought as a carbon, right? She wasn't obligated to be brought as a carbon because she's not fit for a carbon. She's a person, right? You make a nether to bring a carbon. It's an animal that's kosher. You can't bring a person or a behemoth tamea as a carbon. So they both say that really he didn't have to bring her as a carbon. One of them says, Rabbi Yochanan says all he had to do was pay her value, right? Which we find the concept in the Torah of Erechin. All he had to do was pay her value to the Beis HaMikdash and maybe bring a carbon with that value. That's all he had to do. Okay, that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Reish Lakish says, even that he didn't have to do. Because since she's not even in the parish of Karbanos, because she's a human being, so he didn't even have to give the value. He's off the hook, right, if she came out first. So number one was, according to the halacha, he wasn't obligated to bring her as a carbon. That's number one. Number two is that he could have done Ataras Nadarim. Right? And this is what we mentioned briefly. He could have done Ataras Nadarim. He could have gone to Pinchas. Okay? Now what happened? Says the Medrash. Unbelievable. He thought to himself, me? I'm not going to Pinchas. Right? I'm the general. I'm the general of the army. I'm not going to the rabbi. The rabbi should come to me. Right? So he was arrogant. The rabbi should come to me. I'm not going to the rabbi to do Ataras Nadarim. He should come to me. What did Pinchas say? Pinchas said, I'm the Gadol Hador. I'm going to go to the general? He's an Am Haaretz. Right? He's an Am Haaretz. He should come to me. So both of them stayed put. Right? He knew what was going on. Pinchas knew what was going on. Yiftach knew that he had to do Ataras Nadarim with Pinchas. But he wouldn't go. Pinchas wouldn't come to him because he said, it's a chutzpah. Right? I'm the Gadol Hador. He should be coming to me. So neither one of them budged. Says the Medrash, Bein Dein Ledein of the Hanarohahi. In the meantime, while they were arguing, this girl perished. Now it's not clear in the Medrash exactly how she died. It's possible that Yiftach brought her as a karban, because Yiftach made that neder. Again, if you understand the neder, the Yiftach made the neder, he would bring her as an ola, right? And if the vav is and, I'll consecrate it to Hashem and bring it as an ola. So that was the vow he made. And he wouldn't go to Pinchas for Ataras Nadarim, so that's it. He had to bring her as a karba. But it's not clear. It doesn't say clearly in the Medrash that he did it. You know, who knows? Maybe she died some other way. But it's clear that in the interim, in the back and forth between Pinchas and between Yiftach, this girl died. Right? Whether she died or she committed suicide, Yiftach killed her, whatever the case was, but she died. And says the Medrash, they were both punished for this. Both of them were punished. Yiftach was punished because he should have not been so arrogant and should have gone to Pinchas. And Pinchas was also punished because if he sees that Yiftach is not going to him, right? Don't just stand there and let the girl die. Do something. Okay, so you're right. He's not having the right cover, right? But you got to save this girl's life. So it says Yiftach died a terrible death. He had this disease where he would lose limbs. His limbs would atrophy, and he would lose limbs. The pasuk says that he was buried. Pasuk says that Yiftach died. Vayikaver be'arei Gilad. He was buried in the cities of Gilad. So the Medrash says, what do you mean the cities? You're buried in one place. So the Medrash says no, that his limbs atrophied. Every place that he went, he lost another limb, and wherever he was, they would bury that limb. And that's how he eventually died. So he died a pretty terrible death, Yiftach, for his role. And how was Pinchas punished? So the Medrash says that Pinchas lost his Ruach HaKodesh. He lost his Ruach HaKodesh. And the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim says that that Pinchas was a Haya, Nagid Haya Aleihem, that he was a leader of, over them. What do you mean he was? So the Medrash says because his Ruach HaKodesh was taken from him because of this incident. And we find there's another Medrash that really, it's unbelievable, that goes at length to discuss the, you know, discuss this. And then there's a Tanchuman B'chukosai, which we'll close with this in the last 2 minutes. It says that, fascinating Medrash. This was quoted, I saw this in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner. He quoted this Medrash, and I looked up the Medrash in B'chukosai. Unbelievable Medrash. And the Medrash says, Pasuk says in Mishlei, pre-tzadik eitz chayim, v'lokeach nefashos chacha. That a pre-tzadik is eitz chayim. What are the fruits of a tzadik? The eitz chayim. What does eitz chayim refer to? Eitz chayim hila machazikim, refers to the Torah. Pre-tzadik is the eitz chayim, is the Torah. In other words, that a tzadik, a person could be a tzadik, but if he doesn't have the Torah, he's not going to produce any peros. If he doesn't have the Torah, he's not going to produce any peros. Unbelievable thing. And it says about Yiftach, ve'af al pi shehu tzadik, I'm sorry, this wasn't about Yiftach yet, but it says a person, even if he's a tzaddik and he's not osik b'Torah, he has nothing. And this is an interesting point because a lot of times in the litvisha world, so you think, you know, people say you can't be a tzaddik with it not be a talmid chacham, right? You can't be a tzaddik if you don't learn. You know, if you're not a talmid chacham, you can't be a tzaddik. Seems to me the Medrash is not saying like that. The Medrash seems to be saying you can be a tzaddik. A person can be a tzaddik even if he's not a talmid chacham. He can work on himself. He can work on his midos. He can work on his ma'asim tovim. He can work on his mitzvos. He can be a tzaddik and not a Talmud Chacham, right? And he'll be a Tzaddik. But he won't produce Peros. The Peros only come with Torah. The Peros only come with Eitz Chaim Hilamach Hazikimba. So it says that because Mipnei Shelo Haya Ben Torah, this is the language of the Medrash Tanchuma, Mipnei Shelo Haya Ben Torah of Ares Bito. Because he wasn't a Ben Torah, he lost his daughter. His daughter died because of his ignorance in Torah. And the Medrash goes on to describe this, that this conversation, again, some of it is overlapping with the other Medrash, but some of it is just a conversation between him and his daughter, unbelievable conversation. But in the end, you see the focus of the Medrash, that it's on the fact, it's because of the fact that he wasn't a Ben Torah. He was a Tzaddik, right? Maybe he was a Tzaddik, but he wasn't a Ben Torah. He didn't have that Torah, he didn't have the Eitz Chaim to propel him forward. And you see that the importance of these two nekudos, these two points, that a person, number one, can't have the arrogance to say, I'm the general, right? Or even, I'm the Gadol Hador, and therefore, I can't go to this person, right? The guy was the general, he just won the battle. He said, I can't go to the Rav to ask a Shaila. I can't go to Pinchas to do Ataras Nedarim, right? Come down off your high horse and do what you need to do, and go to Pinchas and do Ataras Nedarim. And also, in the case of Pinchas, he should have realized that if a girl's life is at stake, Don't stand up for your kavod, and instead go do what you have to do. So you see the importance of humility, right, and not having, you know, that little bit of arrogance which can cause a person to lose their life. And also you see the importance of being a talmid chacham. Right? If he knew the halacha a little bit better, then he wouldn't have done this. He would have done a taras nedarim, or he would have realized that the neder wasn't chal to begin with. He never read the neder. The neder didn't take effect, and really he didn't have to sacrifice his daughter. Right, and she didn't have to die. And this tragedy really is because, as Rabbi Kirzner explains, based on the Midrash, really is caused because of these two things. Number one, his ignorance in Torah. And number two, his arrogance and lack of the appreciation of what he has to do in order to subdue himself and humble himself and come before the Talmud Chacham. So that's the tragic story, end of Yiftach's daughter. We'll learn Amir Tzashem next week. A little bit about continuing the story of Yiftach, the civil war that results from this tragedy. Well.